welcome to What the Home Health, and glad to have you.
Hey, it's great to be here. Appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we got some really interesting stuff to cover. You know, you guys are doing some pretty awesome stuff over there at Interlace. Before we dive into everything, I think it'd be really helpful if maybe for anybody that hasn't had a chance to chat with you or understand, you know, what Interlace is doing. You guys have been around the industry for a long, long time. I've been fortunate enough to have a be having ongoing conversations with yourself and some of the other team members over there over the course of the past year. And, you know, it's just a great group. So maybe you want to give a little bit of a background on yourself and some of the, you know, your history, and then a little bit on the company.
For sure. Yeah. So I've been involved in software my entire career, 30 plus years now. But the last 15 years focused on helping drive innovation and automation and improvements in the care of healthcare for patients. You know, the first taste I got of healthcare was helping launch Dragon speech recognition technology into the hospital setting, and saw what an amazing impact that could have in terms of saving doctors time versus clicking on keyboards and improving the note taking that they were doing relative to their patient visits. Been with a number of startups and larger companies over a period of time, you know, really got the healthcare bug and wanted to stay in this industry. I currently work for Interlace Health, and Interlace Health is now 32 years old. And so Interlace Health originally started by replacing all the paper forms that were in file cabinets. And actually, some health systems, hospitals had rooms, entire rooms dedicated to all the forms that were used in the hospital. And digitized that and made them available electronically, and has evolved to a company that provides workflow automation, primarily related to data capture and electronic signature capture. So we started out being very, very hospital focused. We have over 1,100 hospitals using our technology. And Matthew, as you know, healthcare evolved from being very hospital centric to expanding to outpatient, and more of the care was being done outside of the four walls of the hospital. Well, we now know that the trend is definitely moving from being outside of the four walls of the doctor's office or the hospital, and really where more and more care is taking place and should be taking place is in the home. And listening to a number of our existing customers that were actually starting to use our technology on their own for their home healthcare agencies, we took a look a couple of years ago and said, okay, let's look at what we can do, how we can improve what we do, and really create solutions that are more dedicated to deal with the problems that home healthcare agencies are facing that we can address. And I think we're going to talk about some of those today.
And in a past life of mine, I sold EHR systems, specifically in home health and hospice, obviously. And that was always a big question mark, right, that a lot of groups had was, you know, intake, admission. Obviously, nothing gets done without that. You know, there's such a high focus on the OASIS assessment and making sure that that all flows into the planning care, which totally makes sense. I mean, obviously, nothing gets done without that either. But, you know, at the very root of all of it, you know, you got to get your admissions consent forms and everything can kind of delay from there. And it's also a huge workflow problem. So I think maybe the first thing let's want to dive into is a lot of times compliance and workflow don't work in healthcare. They don't go hand in hand. They're like pulling at each other from the opposite, you know, they're tugging at each other on the opposite sides, right? And so when we think about, you know, that kind of sides, they're obviously huge priorities in the current state. There's something that every organization is really looking at. I think, you know, in the what I've experienced is compliance always overrides workflow is usually where things are at, I mean, which makes sense in the grand scheme of things. But what are some of maybe the conflicting priorities that you're currently seeing from some of your customers, whether it be on, you know, the facility side or the home health side?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great, you know, you brought up a great point. Compliance and efficiency often are in conflict. You know, healthcare is a highly regulated industry, as well it should be. And there's a number of rules related to compliance. And a lot of that relates to the, making sure that the patient understands what's being done to them, make sure that if there's a procedure involved, they understand what that is. They agree to various things, you know, whether it's as simple as, you know, HIPAA and their information being shared with an HIE, or it's getting their pictures used for marketing purposes, or, you know, that they're agreeing to let blood work being done, you know, and that they're actually going to be stuck with a needle on a regular basis, right? So you have to be able to document all that, and you have to be able to make sure that you can retrieve it when you're audited by various organizations. And so that doesn't seem like it should be that big of a task, but it really is. I mean, you think about, you know, you're asking professionals, people that have got nursing degrees and in hospitals, you know, even doctors, to spend time on a very administrative, what they believe is an administrative task. And it kind of gets in the way of what they really want to do, which is taking care of and treating the patient. For a lot of organizations, it's very paper intensive. And so that means you have to either take a bunch of blank forms and you have a highly educated professional handwriting in information, because often, particularly in home healthcare, you know, you can't rely on the patients to be able to correctly enter that information, or frankly, be able to enter it in a way that your staff is going to be able to read it back at the main office. And then you have to go over and explain it with them and have them sign that. Now, there's a lot of work. Matthew, you and I have talked about this before. When you're bringing on a new client, a new patient in home healthcare, there's a lot of documentation that needs to take place, a lot of information. And in some cases, there's an attempt to provide that information to the patient in advance. We've heard of and seen some agencies even provide that paperwork if the patient's in the hospital setting, and they give it to them while they're in the hospital to start completing before even discharge. But if that's not the case and they're being referred by a physician for another reason, you know, do you really want to wait for the Postal Service to deliver a packet, to have them maybe fill it out, maybe send it back to you, or maybe have it ready when you show up? Or do you bring it with you on the initial visit? But it has to get done, because until that gets done, you can't begin the plan of care, and you can't begin providing service, and you can't bill for your service.
Yeah, you obviously can't even really start the visit that leads to you filling out the documentation that's needed for billing, right? So, I think that brings up another challenge that we see a lot with institutional, when we talk to agencies, and specifically in, you know, speaking about their institutional referral sources, is there's multiple agencies that hospital or facility is referring out to, right? And so they might be using this solution, or maybe they have an agency, but there's that patient choice piece of it, right? So the patient has the option. So yeah, I mean, it's just the complexity of, you know, compliance and workflow, again, pulling at each other, which is I think it's awesome that you guys are really starting to dive into that. I've seen a lot of other EHR systems, which I know you guys aren't at EHR, you guys work hand in hand with EHR solutions, but you know, maybe try to take a swing at that, but they have so many other things going on that, right? I mean, it's again, pulling at the priority strings of what else is going on. So it's pretty awesome. You know, when we think about creating like ROI, return on investment, is usually how everybody's going to try to look at that. And do you have any like data or research that you guys have really, you know, uncovered, or you really kind of dig into to show exactly why an organization should think about automating some of these still very, very manual processes?
For sure. Yeah, we can definitely talk about the research, and then I can share a few recent stories of real world information from agencies that we've been working with that kind of backs up what the research says. So, you know, the lower cost piece of this in terms of real easy to identify cost savings is the cost of paper. So when we talk about paper needs to be printed. Paper then needs to be scanned and indexed back to the EHR, again, going back to that compliance, and then paper needs to be shredded because you've got a lot of personal health information on that paperwork. So you've got to dispose of it. If you're in a high volume, highly efficient, you know, healthcare organization like a hospital that has a scanning department, dedicated people to do that, the cost is 21 cents per piece of paper. Okay, that's highly efficient and still 21 cents. If you're talking about the home healthcare environment where you really don't have the volume in most organizations to have a dedicated person, let alone team, you know, it's somebody that's stopping and starting and doing it on occasion and having to scan and manually index and remember how to index it to the right patient. And then it might be a different person on the next day, et cetera. The labor involved in that causes that cost to go up to like 63 to 84 cents a page. Now that's just on handling the paper, right? That's one piece of the cost, but the real big cost can be about $12,000 per home health nurse a year based on lost time. And that lost time comes from gathering the paperwork that needs to be, you know, provided to the patients, as well as going in and, if you don't have it, data coming from the EHR, manually putting all that information in, working with the patient, then collecting the signatures and finding a way to get that back to the agency so that it's stored in the EHR. Just was having a conversation the other day with an agency here in Michigan, and we had one of their home healthcare nurses join the call. And we said, you know, we say that it's about $12,000 a year in a nurse. You know, are we right? You know, is the data that we're hearing and the research we've done validated? And she said, well, let's kind of look at what happens on my day. She goes, I start my day by driving half an hour to our agency. I pick up a packet of all the paperwork that I'm going to need to be filled out and completed by patients that day. And I drop off the previous day's completed information, right? Packets. Then I drive 30 minutes back before I have my first visit. So she's like, I've just spent an hour every day on that. And every one of the nurses in their agency is doing that. Now add to that the extra time it's being taken when she has to manually fill information out on behalf of the patient before even capturing the signature. And she said, you know, that $12,000 figure was probably right, or actually maybe a little low based upon the amount of time they're spending. Now, every agency has a different way in which they, you know, manage that paperwork. You know, some actually then ship groups of pre-printed blank forms in advance, and the home healthcare nurses have it in their office, but then they still have to go manually collate the appropriate forms and spend, maybe they're not spending as much time driving and picking things up, but they're spending time collating the packets of forms, making sure they've got the right ones for each individual patient, and then starting their day. So that labor is still being there. So if you combine that cost of paper that I mentioned earlier, along with the cost of labor, and you multiply that by the number of home healthcare nurses that you have employed, it's really costly. And I think the other cost to think about is an hour that they're spending doing those kinds of things is an hour they're not spending with patients. And an hour they're spending doing those things is an hour the agency is not billing for.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's
that makes sense?
For sure. And especially when we think about referral rejection rates climbing in the 70% range, right? So we've got a ton of patients that are not getting access to the care that they need. And then if you take just that 1 hour per day for one clinician, you know, a visit is an hour a day. The average agency does about 8 visits, somewhere in that ballpark, you know, per patient per month, per 30-day episode anyways. So, I mean, roughly that's 3 additional patients that could be taken on at the agency level if they just somehow automated some of that process. Again, there's a lot of other nuance there, but no, I love it. I mean, I think that's exactly what, you know, I really hope that these interviews, these podcasts, these discussions can kind of bring to light, right? And that's really what we're trying to get to. It's like, what the home health? I don't think people think about it like that.
I'll tell you, it's something that's been, you know, a surprise to us, and probably isn't for you, but for us, as we've gotten more engaged in home health care, is I was just talking about paperwork where the patient is capable of consenting and helping complete and authorizing all that paperwork. What we're hearing from agency owners is where it gets really sticky. Even if they have something within their EHR today that helps their nurses and their clinicians, you know, with that in-home visit and somewhat automating that process, medical power of attorneys. Okay, you have a medical power of attorney. You know, let's say if my mom needed home health care and she wasn't able to sign off, well, I'm her medical power of attorney, and so is my sister and my brother. My brother lives in Minneapolis. My sister lives in Knoxville. I live here in Michigan, and my mom's outside of Chicago. Okay, so if you're going to mail that paperwork to me, I'm probably the closest one, and you're not, unless you're going to FedEx it. it's going to be at least 2 or 3 days for me to get that information. You hope that I'm in town. You hope that I fill the information out. Being a good son, I would pretty promptly, and then send that information back. I don't have a fax machine here at home. So unless they've given me a way to email it to them, it's going to be another few days of it getting mailed back. So now you're talking about, and by the way, it's not only somebody had to put that information in a packet. Again, time, you know, on the administrative side, you have to wait until I get that and sign it and return it. And then somebody has to manually go back and scan that in. So the medical power of attorney issue, even if it's not something that happens, you know, even 50% of the time, what we're hearing from agency leaders is it is a real, real problem that impacts them in a meaningful way in terms of being able to, you know, start providing care for the patients, as well as, you know, obviously from a financial perspective.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and I think it's like, you know, that hits on another piece. Remind me to bring it up about the proposed rule, because I think there's something to definitely maybe look into a little bit more. I want to get your thoughts on it. But before we jump into that, you know, so pretty much what you guys are trying to do is consolidate and simplify from just a regular, very simple start of care. Patient is, you know, able to sign off electronically. Compliance is tracking it. It all goes back through there. Clinician doesn't have to pick up paperwork or anything like that. The forms are already pre-filled out, X, Y, and Z, updated from a compliance piece side too, correct? So if like there's a change, it's automatically updated. You don't have to go and print a bunch more paper. It just updates the form digitally. And then, you know, all the way to the power of attorney example. Yeah, I mean, and I guess that leads back into the proposed rule aspect of things. And really referral rejection rates and you know, admission timing, I guess, from discharge at the facility to when the patient actually gets admitted into home healthcare. You know, there's a ton and ton of data out there that shows the longer that time frame, the higher the likelihood the patient's going to get readmitted. I mean, it totally makes sense.
Absolutely.
Right. And so, you know, CMS had just put out, I think it's just request for comments at this point in time, but potentially updating the conditions of participation in 2025 to reflect that organizations better market, if you will, or explain what programs their home healthcare agency has so that the facilities are discharging patients to those home healthcare providers with the correct programs, if you will. I mean, it's kind of light in language as far as how they explain it, but that's how I'm understanding it myself, to hopefully then fast track or, you know, cut down on how long the average delay is between discharge and admission to home, you know, discharge from the hospital and admission to the home health. I mean, that's pretty interesting stuff to really think about. I mean, that's really where you guys are trying to run, and maybe it's a byproduct of what you're solving, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, that whole process, Matthew, is you know, is really complicated. You know, I've worked for another organization before coming to Interlace Health that was really working on helping hospitals get patients referred to the right place and do that in a timely fashion. And that's super important. But even if you do that and you're wasting or losing time and can't get the patient, you know, down to that last mile of where we get that patient, you know, onboarded and starting to get treatment, all that work that we did to improve the process at the hospital discharge level gets negated because of simple paperwork not getting completed. And it seems like maddening. You know, we're talking about companies that are creating algorithms, you know, that can really help the hospital lower the chances of readmission. There's a lot of investment of time, effort, whatever, and automation. And then it gets tripped up at the end, you know, at the end, the last mile of this process by something as simple as, you know, not being able to get a patient to sign a consent and complete some onboarding paperwork.
It's craziness. It's like, it's something, you know, we're spending all this money, energy, effort on these big AI algorithms and processes and so forth, and which is, you know, awesome, totally needed. By no means am I knocking it, right? But workflow, workflow, workflow. I say that all the time of you know, if it doesn't fit into a clinician's life cycle or workflow, we already have a shortened, you know, workforce. So we are not going to be able to throw something in there that doesn't make sense. And I think, so that maybe leads to another point. Like, what have you found on your side, maybe even working at the last company or with some of your clients? What are some of the key maybe resistance or is some of the pushback on automating this last mile of the process, right? I mean, we have the Oasis and everybody's trying to improve that. I think that's great. I'm actually doing a webinar with Healthcare Andy, AI Andy, which is automating and taking AI and generative AI to get that Oasis and Planet Care filled out.
Yep.
Which is awesome, awesome stuff, you know, really, really good stuff. But, you know, there's this little piece that people are missing, which is the admission, the consent forms and so forth, and the compliance piece. I think compliance holds it up. But what are you finding that's really the resistance part of why they haven't automated that or they haven't really thought about doing so?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things is, first of all, we all know that people in the field in home health care are really being, you know, crushed in terms of expectations of them, demands, because there's fewer of them. And so it's the classic situation. I don't have time to consider something that's going to make me more efficient because I'm so busy. You know, we all run into that, even if we're not highly trained, you know, healthcare professionals. We every one of us probably ignored an opportunity to make our lives more efficient, easier, et cetera, because we're so busy, we don't pause and take a look at it. That's one. But one of the things that we've learned over the years, regardless of the care setting, is you've got to be able to make sure that the workflow, Matthew, you mentioned this a minute ago, works for the people using it, right? And so if I'm a home health care nurse and you're claiming that you're going to make my life easier, but your software is complicated to use and it doesn't interface well with the other software that I'm using, or it can't run on the device that I'm using, or it's clunky and it works some of the time. You know, we heard of another solution for e-signature that if you don't finish the encounter notes right then and there, it completely loses the consent. So it forces you to do all your encounter noting before you leave the patient, you know, and so that it's closed. I mean, those are things that are not convenient. And so if you can't pull data from the EHR into your forms, you're not saving that nurse that much time. If you make it hard to, when you're done with it, for it to go back into the EHR automatically, somebody, either the nurse or administrator, is having to go back and make sure that that happens. If the software looks like it's a completely different user interface and it doesn't really look like it was designed to work with the other software that they're using, again, it's another thing they have to learn. So those are the things that create resistance on top of just the normal, I'm so busy, I can't spend a minute to get more efficient.
So you're saying that the product's got to be made in the real world, not in a lab. I mean, that's like what we see so much in healthcare, right? It's like, have you actually gone out and really talked to people about what's going on and how their world works? Or did, you know, was there a developer behind the screen that thought through the process and hasn't really actually seen what's going on the front line?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And we learned it the hard way. I mean, we originally had most of our documentation that was required signature was presented to a patient in patient access at a hospital, right? And pretty much the patient was like, well, at least it's better than a clipboard, right? Yeah. So there wasn't that much initial work on, okay, is this UI working for everybody? Then we moved to like starting to get surgical consents that doctors needed to sign. And oh, wow, we got some real fast feedback on the need to improve our user experience very, very quickly. So, you know, we learned that we have to make sure that it's going to work for everybody involved in the workflow, because if it doesn't, they're not going to use it. Even if we get them to purchase it, they're not going to use it. And it doesn't do anybody any good to create more shelfware, you know, in today's environment. So yeah, absolutely. Sometimes those lessons have not come easily, but they have been lessons that certainly have been learned.
Yeah, for sure. Well, hey, man, I mean, I really, really appreciate you jumping on here with me and sharing more. I mean, before we wrap up, is there anything else that you want to share about Interlace or just kind of some different insights, or at least how somebody can get in touch with you guys if they're interested in learning more?
Yeah, I definitely would love the opportunity to do that. And the only thing else I would mention is, you know, it's exceedingly timely that we're having this conversation, because as you mentioned, CMS has made a number of proposals, and I think they may have even finalized, you know, something that's being talked about quite a bit in our industry, the 80-20 rule. And so, you know, if what that means is from a reimbursement perspective, there's going to be less money made available to cover administrative costs. And really the goal is to get more of the money going to the people providing the care, which is great and makes a lot of sense. But from a practical perspective, that's going to put pressure on agencies to get more top line revenue by having, you know, home care professionals seeing more people every day. And it also means that there's going to be pressure to reduce administrative costs. So what's the easiest way to reduce administrative costs? It's automate workflows that are being very manual today, right? So that's one. And how do you give nurses the opportunity to see more patients to generate more revenue in a day? You don't have them wasting an hour's worth of time driving to pick up paper or spending an hour collating packets manually. So there's really good timing for organizations that want to be prepared for what's coming down the road next year to get a hold of us and have a conversation and see if we can help them. You can get a hold of me, Art Nicholas, A. Nicholas at interlacehealth.com. And we'll make sure we get the right people in touch with you to follow up and set up a specific meeting.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, I greatly appreciate it. And I do agree. I mean, it's efficiency is going to be the key in what everybody has to focus on for the next 10, 15 years until we really figure out this interoperability piece. But in the meantime, you know, working with what you can and making it most efficient as possible is it has to happen, right?
For sure.
So awesome, man. Well, hey, it was great chatting with you. Thanks so much again for joining me, and look forward to catching up with you soon.
Definitely. All right, take care, Matthew.